Morning and Merry Christmas. In the last several months, we've been going over the letter of 1 John, and he gives us a lot to think about, a lot to ponder in his letter. He speaks about who we are in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And in what he's saying to us, he says about five different major points. And one is we're not allowed to hate another Christian. In fact, we receive the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts, and we're supposed to have that love for one another. The forgiving love of Jesus Christ should compel us to love our neighbor as he loves us. And if we hate other Christians, are we truly Christians? Because the love of Jesus Christ needs to be in our hearts so that we can love each other. Christians are to love one another. Another thing John talks about is we're to hate evil in other people and in our lives as well. No one who's received the love of Jesus Christ makes a practice of sinning, and John talks about that several times in the letter, to not make a practice of sinning, to not have habitual sin. So one who is a child of God wants to move away, wants to go on a different path, and not make that a practice in their life. We want a desire to have that love, and that love should compel us to move away from our sinful nature and to hate evil and to hate sin. We're also, John tells us, not to love things of the world. These things are fleeting. These things can go away. We're to love Jesus Christ. We're to love God and what he's given us, and to know that that satisfies everything we need. These earthly things pass away, but the love of God is enduring forever, and his love is immeasurable to us. We're also, John talks about, to hate false teachings. Teachings that drive people away from the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth that Jesus is the true Son of God, Savior of our sins, our advocate, the propitiation of our sins. All these truths that we know as Christians, false teachings should be hated by us. We're to love the Gospels and to love the truth that God gives us. Those are the things that we need to love as Christians, and to hate what drives people away from Jesus Christ. Most of all, God is love. God's love is so immeasurable that he gave his one and only Son to us to forgive us for our sins, to give us everlasting life, to bring us into the family of God. God loves us so much that he gave his Son for us. The more we meditate on that, the more we meditate on God's love, we become secure, and then we have peace. So John, in the last portion of this letter that we read, talks about a little bit of something else, about our relationship with each other, and about praying for each other, praying for another Christian. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, John says this: "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death." So what happens when another sin is created, and it's from another Christian, and a Christian sins against us? What do we do? What's our first reaction? What do we want in that relationship at that point? Do we want to restore that other Christian? Do we want to restore them in their relationship to make it right with God? Do we not want to condemn them for their sin, but instead show them that we love them? And do we pray for them? Do we pray for that other Christian who's maybe sinned against us? Do we want their relationship to be restored to God and with us as well through prayer? See, Jesus is our advocate, and we've talked about that in 1 John as well. He's our advocate for us. He loves us. And Jesus' love should show us that we need to love our other Christian friends and our family and children of God through prayers for them. But John also talks about a sin that leads to death, and we shouldn't be praying for that. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 to 17, John says this: "There is a sin that leads to death, and I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does lead to death." And as we read in Matthew, which I'm going to read a little bit of portion of that again, but was reread, Jesus was healing a blind and mute man. He was using the love of God for one of God's children so that he could be healed. And the Pharisees didn't see it that way. The Pharisees' hearts were hardened and they were blinded by the fact that this was a work of God, that Jesus is God, and that he was performing a miracle in front of them. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read just once again Matthew chapter 12, 31 to 32. And Jesus is addressing again the Pharisees. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, people. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And as Christians, we don't have to really worry about that. We already know the truth. You and I know the truth and who God is, that he is the true Son of God. This sin really can't be committed by us, but we do see this sin in the world. We do see people blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so what John is telling us is that they're lost. There's nothing really we can do at this point. We can't even pray for them. But we can pray for the sins of each other and the sins of our fellow Christians. That is something we can do. And when we're following Christ and we're not susceptible to sin and we know how much Jesus loves us and fills our hearts, it propels us in a different direction. So when the sin is against us and another Christian sins against us, what do we do? And there was an instance 4 years ago, Lori, my wife, and I moved down here to Roseburg. And we have a house up there. And as you know, the market is horrible. So we couldn't sell our house. So we had to find out how we can keep that house up there. So we had someone rent the house from us. And it was a friend of mine. And he's been a friend for over a decade. And I knew him for a long, long time. And he professed Jesus. You know, we talked about it every once in a while. So in my eyes, he was a Christian. He knew Jesus was God. He knew our sins were saved. And so he lived in our house and rented it from us. And month by month went by, and he'd pay the rent, pay the rent, pay the rent. No big issues. Till one month, we didn't receive a check. And I'm like, this is a little unusual. So I call him up. And I talked to him. He said, I'll get it to you next week. We'll take care of it. I'll get the money for you next week and we'll pay it. I said, that's fine. Weeks and weeks would go by and he kept on building on more and more excuses. Till eventually after the fact, he was lying to me. Instead of coming out truthfully and telling me the situation that he was in, he was just lying to try to avoid it. And I was angry and I was very, very frustrated. The situation was hardship on our family. And I reacted angrily and frustrated because of what this person did to me. But then I realized that down the line, what's the most important thing in this relationship? It's that his relationship should be restored with God. That his relationship with God is very important. And if he's another Christian, his relationship with me is important. And so then I prayed for him. And I prayed that he would be restored and forgiven, and that I would be forgiven as well for how I reacted to another Christian. So we should pray for another Christian. Absolutely we should. We should most desire that that relationship be reconciled between us and their relationship be reconciled to God as well. And it's not easy to pray for them. It's not easy when we've been wronged to say, I need to pray for that person. I need to ask for my forgiveness, their forgiveness, because it's just not easy. But because of the love of God and because of the love that he's given us, we need to show that love to other Christians. That should compel us on the right path and put us in a place where our love is praying for them in their sin. Because as Christians, we're all kind of in the same boat. We all believe in the same things. And in 1 John 5:18, John tells us this. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. All of us are reborn through Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice on the cross for us, we are all reborn again. The ones who have sinned against us, they have that same gift of grace. They have that same forgiveness. The same forgiveness of the ones who sin against our loved ones. Other Christians who maybe sin against our loved ones, they receive that same grace. And when we sin against another Christian, we also have that same gift and that same grace. It doesn't change. It's still the same love that he's giving all of us. And he wants us to pray for each other. And this grace shows the tremendous love of Jesus Christ and of God. It shows that we should be revived by this love. Our hearts should be full of his love, that God loves us so much that we all have this saving grace and this gift that he's given us. And of course, we are sinners. We know this. And we don't desire a sinful life. We don't desire to sin against each other. Christians desire a relationship with God. We desire a relationship with our Creator. And through this relationship, we're protected by God. He protects us from sin. Now, he doesn't protect us necessarily from the trials that we may have in life, and we do. We have trials and we have things in our life, temptations and other things that come to us that maybe make us struggle a little bit. But what Jesus Christ does and what God does and what the Holy Spirit does is gives us the tools and equips us with the gospel and equips us with the Holy Spirit. We have these tools to move us forward, to put us on that right path. So when we are sinning, we can look to what Jesus has done. We can look to the Gospels. We can have the Holy Spirit within us and persevere through these trials and go on the path to where we aren't sinning, to where we desire that relationship with God and with each other. When we are born of God, he protects his children. We are his children because we've been born again. Just as I want to protect my daughters, God wants to protect his children, and even more so, more unfathomably so than the feelings I have towards my own children. He has that towards us. So we're the same in a lot of respects. John tells us this. We're all children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. But there are things that make us different, not from each other, but from the world. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, John tells us this. He says that we know we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We are the children of God, which makes us different. We believe in our Savior, Jesus Christ, coming down and forgiving us from our sins, being our propitiation, being our advocate. And our new birth through Jesus Christ makes us adopted children into the family of God. And our new life gives us guidance through our trials and saves us from our sin. This is something that we have as Christians that people in the world don't have. People who don't believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ, they don't have this same camaraderie and family feeling that we have. And because God loves us, we love one another. Because of the everlasting love of our Father, we are compelled to love each other. Whether we are sinned against or we sin against another Christian, we still have that same love. Our direction should not be selfish, though. Our desire is outward love towards our neighbor. We now have a different mindset. We now have an outward love towards other people. And God's love for us is so great that it should shine through us in the actions that we have towards others. Through people in our community, to non-Christians, to everyone. We're supposed to show that love to each other. And God's love is so great, people should see that within us. We recognize that this love is from outside ourselves and it's unfathomable. We have the knowledge that our love is from our Creator and has no comparison to anything else in the world. There's nothing in this world that can give you that same fulfillment that God gives you. There's nothing in this world that can replace the love of Jesus Christ. And we know that the truth is Jesus is the Son of God. And what he has done has saved us from what we truly deserve is eternal punishment. But now we can walk away from that and have confidence that we are loved by God. And then on judgment day, we will be saved. And there shouldn't be any fear in that day. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 to 21, John concludes his letter with this. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Being from God shows us the true love that he has for us. And the understanding that Jesus gives us is to love one another. We are forgiven for our sins, so we need to forgive others and pray for them as well. And Jesus is our advocate to the Father, and so in return, we should be an advocate to each other, encouraging each other and praying for each other in times where we are weak. And we must take refuge in the fact that Jesus Christ is there for us, so we must not have idols replace him. Jesus already offers everything we need. A nice car, a great house, and a lot of money is fleeting and will go away. But the eternal love of God is always there. And so in conclusion, John says we should pray for each other because we are in the same family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all God's children. All Christians receive this love of God and the forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not different for any Christian. It's the same for all of us. And we're all from God. And the truth of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us shows us that we must love others as God loves us. Please stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.